Hello, welcome! Season 2, Confessions of an Aging Ingenue. I'm Jenny Tooley, your aging ingenue. I'm so excited that you're here today. Before we jump on into this episode, I wanted to let you know I have made a new treat for you. It's the Interactive Companion Guide for Season 1. Yes, Interactive Companion Guide, Confessions of an Aging Ingenue, Season 1. Jump on over to jennytooley.com to get more information. We're also going to be offering a mentorship program this year, so make sure that you are getting your monthly newsletter so that you can get all the insider tips and info. All right, what you've been waiting for? Here we go. Welcome, everybody. Jenny Tooley here, another episode of Confessions of an Aging Ingenue. And today I have a very special guest, Dana Leopold. How are you doing today?
Well, hello, Jenny. It's good to be here. And thank you so much for inviting me to be on your podcast. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Dana and I, I must say, when I sent out the invitation, you responded without a pause. And I so appreciated that. No questions asked. You're just like, yes, let's do it.
Yes, let's do it.
Dana and I met during Chris Carr's business boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been 2 years ago, a year ago.
Is it 2 years? Holy cow, what's happening?
I don't know. It might have been 2 years ago.
Yeah, for sure. And it was awesome. And Jenny, you and I are kindred spirits. I definitely love your creative nature and your spontaneousness, and I definitely have that too. So basically, I am at heart, I'm a seeker, and I love learning new things. I love meeting new people and talking about, you know, things that are important to the existence of being a human. But right now, I am a holistic nutritionist, a wellness coach, and a yoga instructor. And what I love to do is work with clients who are struggling with aging, right? Who are in that spot of, you know, heading toward the cusp of 50 plus, and starting to feel old and achy, and helping them go from that place to energized, healthy, and setting themselves up to age well in the future.
I love that. And that's perfect for me and for my podcast. I just turned 52 in March.
Yay. Okay. So it's like, now you're 50. Now what? Right? That's what happens.
Right. Well, at 50, it wasn't that big of a deal. But in the last 2 years, it's been like, okay.
Yeah, it's like time catches up to you. And that's why one of the things that's really important to me as a human being and my existence and to my clients and people I talk to is your mindset, right? How you think about things is how you're going to experience your life and you're going to experience aging. And a lot of us don't realize that until we get into our 50s, or, you know, sometimes we don't even realize that. And the mind is this thing that's like, you know, both this powerful thing and this thing that can really be a pain in the butt.
Right.
Right. So the thing that it's so difficult for all of us to do is to really just slow down, sit, and be with what's going on in our mind. Because much of our lives is, you know, hurry, hurry, get here, hurry, hurry, do this, hurry, hurry, you know, check this box off. And the whole time the mind is talking to us about how we're not good enough, or how we don't have enough, or how, you know, we'll never get there, or this terrible thing's going to happen. So we're battling with this pretty much with our whole lives, but yet we don't take the time to really sit and understand it and try to, you know, get the tools that we need to manage this monkey mind.
Right. I have found that perspective is absolutely the key. If I can change my perspective on anything, then life is so much better.
It is absolutely. And, you know, so the question always comes up, like, how, you know, how do you do that? Right? Mm-hmm. If I've got this judge in my head that's always judging me, or if I've got this nervousness, or if I've got this need to control, or, you know, this victim, you know, how do you do that? I'm just curious, you know, from your perspective, Jenny, like, how do you do that?
Well, I've spent decades now, Dana, collecting.
Right.
Yeah, no, literally I have. I've spent probably almost 2 decades now collecting tools that I use. Sometimes they, you know, they rotate in and out. A big one for me was being in 12-step recovery in Al-Anon. I had to really break down. I had to look inside a lot. Like, if I was going to, quote, succeed in that program, which was not to get my partner or whoever it was sober, but to get myself kind of emotionally sober, then I had to really sit with my brain and start to look at how I was thinking about things, how I was interacting with people, but mostly interacting with myself and my core beliefs, and then using a whole set of tools that they had to offer, plus all the yoga tools I have, the tapping tools. If you suffer from anxiety and codependency and things like that, you're going to find a lot of tools.
Seriously, you know, I can just give an example recently, like the tapping, right? I've used it myself. I've used it with my daughter, but my son was recently going through some really hard stuff, lots of anxiety, lots of panic. And when I introduced this tool to him, he kind of looked at me like, what? But then when we sat and went through the exercise, he went from, you know, feeling like a 7 or 8 level of anxiety down in one session to like a 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if people think that this is woo-woo or whatever, I've just seen it number of times with using the tapping. Is just, it can really, really help.
Yeah. The tapping for me, that's probably spent 7 years doing it consistently. And then at one point it no longer had the same value for me.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when I shifted to something else. I don't even know what it is at this point. Another, you know, management tool.
Yeah. That's interesting you say that, right? Because we're always, as much as we think we're staying the same, I think we are always changing and we are growing. And maybe that tool was super helpful for you in that period of your life, but then you're evolving and growing and maybe there's something else that you can use. To help yourself, right?
I think it got to the point for me where I had done so much work on myself. At first, I thought I was broken, right? Okay, I have to fix myself. I'm not fixing them anymore, so now I'm fixing me. I must be broken. There's something wrong with me. So we get to that just debilitating mindset. And then once I got out of that and started to accept where I was and that I had done so much work that maybe I needed to step back and look where some other things might be coming in, it became more about looking at my ancestry and DNA.
Oh,
and doing some like energy clearings and things like that.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Like, oh, I have other people's stuff stuck to me right now, right? This isn't even my stuff.
That's true. Right? That is so true. Whatever your family has is their, you know, emotional, psychological baggage. Sometimes you carry that on without even really knowing it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. So, you know, the thing that I think for myself and that I see in some of my clients, and maybe you've experienced this, Jenny, is it's hard to kind of balance the how you feel in your mind with how you the changes in your body that are going on as you age. Because at some point we all hit this certain level where, okay, I don't feel or in my mind and how I'm thinking as I look in the mirror, right? Mm-hmm. And it's hard to balance that. It's hard to look at yourself in the mirror and see the lines and the bags and the graying and, you know, all these changes that are going on. And, you know, in my mind, I still feel like I'm, you know, 20 something, or you're still like holding on to that image of yourself. And, you know, your mindset plays a big part in that, right? You can go a number of places there. You can go like, oh, I'm getting old. And you can constantly tell yourself, I'm getting old, I'm getting old. And old holds such a negative connotation, especially for women, right? Mm-hmm. You know, old. But you forget about all the lessons you've learned, all the people you've met, all the experiences you've had, and that all of those combine and make you into who you are right now. And all of those wrinkles, all of those bags, you know, all of the flappiness that happens, in a way, they're like, you've earned those, right? You've earned the position that you're in right now. And how can you take all of that and look into your future and use that for something? You know, mm-hmm. That's what I like to talk to my clients about is, you are here because of everything you've gone through. How can you use that to create some meaning and some purpose and something for either your or the greater good? You know, we all have something like that that is unique to us, right? Mm-hmm. You can take those things that you've learned and use it for something, you know, and not just wallow in the fact like, oh, I'm just old, right?
Oh, creaky bones. Yeah. I didn't get quote old until like 5 years ago, I'd say, maybe 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I looked down, I think it was during the pandemic. I was like, where did all this like stuff growing on my skin come from?
Right. All the stuff growing on your skin. That's for sure. Right. No, I know. And it's like, well, that's part of what it is to be human and to grow old. And it's hard to look at that. And then you look at, you know, somebody else younger or this, or you kind of mourn for what was and how much you took it for granted, right? That my skin didn't have all these little bumps and dark spots and things, you know, you just took it for granted, right? So how can you take that and just be like grateful and thankful for what is, for what you have? Mm-hmm. And that is the working with the mind. I've recently learned a new tool that I'm sharing with everybody. And it's this, you know, stopping where you are in the moment. You know, you have those thoughts. Okay, look down at your skin and, oh, what, gross, you know, whatever that is. And then you take time and you take three deep breaths. You feel the rising and the falling of your belly just for like a minute. And then you say, what is the positive that I can find in that? And you're like, well, what is the positive? Man, my skin looks gross, you know? But there's always like a 10% of any given situation or thought where you can find something good. But it takes that moment of just stopping in that thought, oh, my skin's gross, taking the three deep breaths, and then what is the positive that I can find from that? It could be something as simple that, you know, my skin is protecting my body. You know, my skin protects my body. Or it could be, you know, my skin is healthy for my age, meaning I don't have cancer. That's pretty damn good, right? You can always find something, right? It doesn't, it's not this like Pollyanna, like, oh, la, 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 my skin is beautiful. My skin is gorgeous, la, la, la. It's more acknowledging that my skin isn't what was, and being thankful for what it is now. There's always something that you can be thankful for.
So even if I can't come up with something positive, I can come up with something I'm grateful for about that skin.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Right. And then coming into that gratitude space, it creates more of a possibility for you, or more of a, like there's, it's less negative and more positive, right? There's always that, there's that science behind if you are grateful, you know, how it shifts the neural pathways in your blame, in your brain.
In my brain. Got a brain in
my
me.
Brain. It shifts the neural pathways from like, I'm always having these negative thoughts to grateful. And grateful is a fertile ground for something else to grow.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, for sure.
One of the tools that I had picked up, it's somewhat similar to this in I think the process of how it works in your brain is awareness, exception, and the three A's: awareness, acceptance, and action.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
So you have that awareness, and as great manifestors, we want to skip to the action part, right? Oh, I see that. And I just want to, I'm going to go to the dermatologist. I'm going to get all that scraped off, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if we can get into the acceptance mode and sit with it, then that opens up to so many other possible, quote, solutions to whatever it is that's bothering me.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I also think that, you know, we're in a unique time, and I'm very grateful that I'm, you know, 57 years old right now. And the reason why is because more people who have platforms are saying, you know what, it's normal to have some skin looking like this when you're 57. It's normal to have, you know, baggy jowls, or it's normal to have, you know, gray hair. I mean, we're in a time when that's happening more and more. And so the more that everybody sees that, the more acceptance we can have as a collective, right? Rather than, oh my God, have you seen so-and-so? She's aged terribly, you know, this right. kind of thing.
Yeah. I had that you exact know, thought yep. of the industry that I've been in for a very long time that I've pretty much stepped out of does not allow us to age. We have to stay like mm-hmm. the same somehow.
Mostly women, right? Mostly women. Yeah. Men can yeah. age, and they can look fine when they age.
Not women. And it's just, when you've been in that zone for so long, it's a big core belief that you have to step away from. Even if you know it's not true, like, yeah, you just have to keep working with it. And I think, like you said, it's represented so much in our media culture that I can't even tell anymore. I'm like, wait, is she?
Yeah.
Since she's older, where yeah, somebody would be walking along and they've got this 25-year-old face, but they're walking like they're 70. And I'm like, my brain gets confused, you know?
Right. And there is that extreme spectrum, right? That there's a lot of people still clinging to that. And as technology has advanced, you can do so much to your body and your face to try to preserve that. So yeah, there are people you're kind of like, what? Oh my God, she's like 55. What?
You know? Yeah, and it's confusing. So. It's like almost like a gaslighting thing for my brain.
For sure. For sure. But, you know, I was just going to say, my hope is that we keep, you know, as a society, we keep moving toward that acceptance. And, you know, the real sad thing in a lot of it is that, you know, we are judged just based on the external so much. And there's so much like wisdom and experience and, you know, stories that sort of fade out with people as they age. And I hope that we keep, you know, pushing that and leaning into that, because I feel like there's an untapped resource of, you know, these people in their 60s and 70s who, you know, we could look to for, you know, guidance and wisdom, and we just don't. So I hope we keep moving the needle in that direction.
So am I correct? Are you an aging parent who has an aging parent?
Yes, I have two aging parents. And that is the other challenge that you have, right? I do have two kids, and I have two parents who are aging, and they did not take advantage of, you know, some of the new findings about aging. And so they're going through some really hard things. You know, we've been able to extend our longevity, right? Live longer. But in those last decades of life, you know, my mom is in a senior assisted living facility, and she's not very mobile. And, you know, her world is very small. And my dad, who's older than my mom, he's definitely more mobile and more active than she was. And, you know, he's in a better place than she is right now. And so, but, you know, he's 81. And so he's, you know, dealing with a lot of things that come with being in your 80s. But it's just, I've seen the difference in just my mom and dad, and how much just like moving, just keep moving the older you get, because that will have a huge impact when you're older. And there's so much that we can do now in our 50s to deposit into that bank account when we get older, so that we're not, you know, having to use a walker or wheelchair or worse, right? But it is a lot of stress, you know, trying to figure out how to be there for my parents, how to be there for my children who are, you know, stepping into their adulthood right now. You know, it's definitely less hands-on, but you never stop being there. And then dealing with all the stuff that changes for myself in my late 50s. It is a lot.
How do you sort through all of that?
Here's the thing. I don't sort through it. I just try to be in the moment and take things as they come. You know, you might find this if you have older parents too, Jenny, that you can try to, you know, be proactive with them, but you know, they got their own minds and their own opinions and their own stubbornness.
Yeah.
So it's just like being there when they need you, giving them ideas and suggestions, supporting them, but you can't force anything, right? As much as you know you'd want to, and you know in the long run it'd be better for them, right? But you just take it as it comes, you know? I don't try to sort through things because I feel like the more that my controller comes out and tries to control things, the worse I feel.
Yeah, the worse I feel.
And it's like, you know,
the worse everybody else feels too.
Yeah, because they just see you as this like meddling, you know, you think you know everything and you don't know and blah, 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 right?
Right.
But it's definitely tough. And you have to, like you said, you have to acknowledge how tough it is. You know, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little emotional, right? When you see your parents who are struggling.
Yeah.
And it's tough. It's really tough. And I just try to take advantage of the moments that we have, right? Because they're not going to be here, you know, all the time. Oh my gosh, sorry. I just got so emotional there.
Oh! I think that's a completely natural and normal reaction.
Yeah, absolutely. It is, right? And then you just take the moment to sit in that and let it pass.
Right.
Yeah. Deep stuff.
It is. It's the like natural processes of life, and yet they're, I think, so kind of alien to us sometimes.
Really, it really is. You know, that's why I will just talk about it until somebody tells me to shut up, that we need to talk about what the experience is of getting older in our society. And we need to talk about it and make it so it's like not so like ew, like
right,
you know, like aging is some like thing that's contagious, and then if you catch it, you know, that's the worst possible thing. Like, I mean, sorry, this is it, folks. This is what happens. I don't care how much, you know, science and Botox you throw at things, it's gonna happen. Right? And talk about these things, you know, how hard it is to see your aging parents and trying to be there for them. And talk about how hard it is to like look at and face your own mortality. We do not talk about that as a society. It's like, oh yeah, you know, the D word, we don't talk about that. Isn't it so ironic? Okay, I'm just going to trip out on you for a second here. Isn't it ironic how, especially the industry that you used to be in, you know, entertainment and acting and so forth, we glorify death. You know, we make it so violent and so much a part of our entertainment, but yet we don't talk about it in terms of that individual intimate experience. Isn't that ironic?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, so we're going to watch this 3-hour movie where everybody's getting blown up and guts and everything, you know, people dying left and right, but we don't talk about how to deal with the experience of losing a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's just like blows my mind sometimes how weird that is.
Yeah, it is. It's almost like, here, let's overload on this end so we don't have to do anything on this end, right?
We don't have to do that, right? No, totally. I just find it so interesting. One of the programs that I was in, it was a Yoga for Healthy Aging program, and they had a death doula as part of the program come and talk to us about the experience of dying and death and being in the presence of that with somebody you love dearly, and you know, how to hold space during that, how to start to come to terms with the fact that we'll face that one day. We will be there, right? And I just think, God, why aren't we talking about this more?
Yeah. I've been trying to put together a will for the last 3 years.
Oh, yeah. I know that's a process in and of itself, right?
It really is. And it's not just like facing death. Actually, there's a lot in making a will, if you're aware. It's not just setting up accounts or making sure your body goes somewhere. It's also comes up. There are things that come up, like how I'm living right now. Like my will is about mostly my animals. What happens to my animals when I go? And at one point I realized I didn't have anybody to put in there that would take care of my animals or finding them new homes, which showed me something about how I was living my life right now that I didn't have.
Yeah. That's an eye opener, I'm sure, for you. Like you kind of go, oh, right?
Exactly. And it also helped me understand why I was feeling so, I don't say lonely, but lacking support. And it was because I was.
Wow. So did you do anything to, you know, work in that area? I mean, that's hard, right? That's a hard space.
It is. I took some steps to clear out some relationships that I didn't need to be in anymore. That was not easy.
Yeah.
And then opened myself up to doing some more personal growth work and getting to understand why that had happened. Like, not just about them. It's about why that happened.
Yeah.
And now I was just taking the time to turn that around so that I attract more people that I and allowed myself to receive what I need from the universe and other people.
For sure. You know, that's a really interesting point that you bring up, Jenny, because it touches on that other aspect of aging in our society that we all know is a big epidemic, but we don't know how to solve it. And that's that feeling of the older you get, the more you kind of, your world gets smaller, right? And that loneliness that comes in because we are realizing that, you know, I'm short and valuable, so I'm going to kind of limit the amount of people I allow in my life. But sometimes it happens to such an extreme that we find ourselves isolated. And then it's like, what do we do? Because how do we find somebody who's special enough that we trust enough to take care of our animals when we go? Right. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's a big, you can have a whole podcast on that. Seriously.
Yeah.
But it's that being willing to continue to be vulnerable, putting yourself out there, you know, trying to get into communities where, you know, people can be, you know, safe and trusting and vulnerable. It's a hard part of getting older. You know, because everybody goes and does their lives and, you know, everything. And all of a sudden you look around, it's like, oh, where did everybody go?
Right.
Yeah, it's tough. I hear you. I hear you. I've felt that myself. I've definitely felt that myself.
And I think as I grow, a lot of those relationships do fall off. And not just personal ones, but like the business relationships or my relationship with myself has changed, or I've changed so much that they don't work anymore. So that leaves me in a space where I'm like, okay, I have to be open to meeting new people and trying new things because I don't have the other things anymore.
Yeah, that's true. I've recently had a friendship that that I've had to sort of let go because it just felt very draining. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really feel like there was as much fulfilling for me as I was trying to, you know, give to the other person. And I think that happens a lot. It's hard, but it's weird. I don't know if you have this, like when you find yourself in moments where it's just like, you know, people suck and I just don't want to deal with people anymore, or, you know, I just want to sit in my house all cuddled up and safe because the world sucks, right? Like, I don't know why, but this song always comes into my head. It's a song by Pink called Try. And there's a lyric in that verse that's like, you gotta get up and try. You gotta get up and try. You know, as much as you like do think people suck and the world sucks, you just gotta get up and try. Do you have anything like that? That
sometimes the world doesn't suck as much for me as it used to. And I think it's because I have removed myself from engaging with the world. I'm more engaged with this small world that's around me.
That's a real good way to look at it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I don't watch the news. People are like, you don't know what's going on in the world. And I'm like, you know what?
I don't either. And the same reaction. Like, you know what? Do I really need to know that, you know, somebody, you know, did this terrible thing and all these people are suffering? Like, unless I can do something about it. Right.
Right. I can't do something about everything. All I can do is to do something about me. And what I really understand now is that if I'm in a good space and I am happy and well adjusted to my life and healthy feeling, I can show up and affect other people in a really positive way. And that will then ripple out beyond me.
Right. And you have to, like, sometimes this was hard for me. You have to let go of what's going to happen, right? So you put yourself out there, show up the best that you can, and then you have to let go of whatever happens. And positive things may happen, amazing things may happen, and you might not ever know, right? Might not ever come back to you that happened. But you just have to have faith that that's what'll happen.
Part of though is sometimes I do need to not go out in the world.
Yes, absolutely.
I need to step back and be in my little house, or looking at the pretty little plants and the flowers and all the beautiful things around me. That's what refuels me so that I can deal with the people that I'm feeling irritable about, and I just want to. I don't feel that. Like one day, I was sitting on this call waiting for this insurance company to answer my phone forever, like, you know, 30 minutes. But I was outside and I was watching the clouds, and so it didn't bother me that much. It didn't matter.
Just that little thing. It's those little things, right? Just watching the clouds. Yeah, totally. And those little things, they all add up to the experience of your life, right? We tend to think of life as these grand sweeping things, you know, these big milestones. And yeah, that's part of life too. But a lot of life is just those little moments, you know, sitting on a call, waiting for the insurance company. What are you going to do?
You know, I showed up and I was in a good mood, and his mood changed a little, you know, because I was being polite and helpful and not going, why is it taking so long for you to answer this?
Yes. Yes. I remember, I don't know if you've ever heard of Wayne Dyer. He was kind of like a life guru, I guess. And he, you know, was a motivational coach, and he wrote a lot of books, and he was the one that coined the phrase, when you change the way you think about things, the things will change, right? And he told stories of how exactly what you're talking about there is, like, you know, he'd be running through the airport and things messed up and people are all upset, and he'd go to the counter and ask the person, can you help me with this? And instead of going like, this sucks, everything's messed up and you guys are terrible, he would go with this kind of real positive mindset and, you know, say, gosh, you know, you're doing the best that you can at your job. And, you know, I appreciate all the help you're giving me, and being, polite and happy rather than, and he would say that things would totally change, and often amazing things would happen. Like, you know, people would be like, oh, well, let me help you do this. Or, and it's, yeah, that energy of how you're approaching, things, right? That's why when you were like that, the guy or gal was probably nicer to you.
Yeah. And we had a better communication, because it's like you said, it's not all Pollyanna. It's also clearly stating, here's what I need, and this is what's not working. what can we do here? Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I was thinking about when you said that, how we're talking to our bodies. So we're talking about Wayne Dyer talking to the flight attendant or whoever in a really positive way, instead of coming in and being like, this sucks. So as we're aging, maybe we have to come to our bodies instead of being like, hey, this sucks, you suck. And come at it in a positive but honest way. And our bodies may have a different response or reaction.
Absolutely. One of the things that I tell myself and my clients is, look at what your body can do and look at what your body has done for you, right? Rather than like, how do your thighs look, or how does your butt look, or your face, or whatever. What is it like? Think about what your body does for you every day, right? The fact that your body keeps you breathing and your heart beating, the fact that your body takes in nutrients and uses that to keep the body going. The fact that you can, you know, still walk. That's just amazing at a certain age, right? You're still walking, you're still mobile. And if you ask a little more of your body, it will respond. the thing that's amazing about our bodies is it just does what you ask it to do, right? If you sit around on the couch all day just doing nothing, your body's not going to do much because you're not asking much of it, right? Mm-hmm. You're just existing. But you start to ask your body, like, maybe let's do a couple of squats. Oh, the muscles respond. Oh, the muscles are now building. And we're asking a little bit more. And the body goes, okay, let's adjust to this. Let's do what we got to do because now you're asking me to do more. So it's really, you know, what are you asking of your body? And how are you being thankful for what it does for you? Mm-hmm. You know, those of us women who've had children, it's like, look at what my body did. That was freaking amazing. Right? I grew a person. Right?
Person. Incredible.
Yeah. So it's, you know, being thankful for what your body does for you. You know, I often, like, if I'm going through a particularly stressful time and I've got some anxiety going on, you know, I will just put my hands over my heart and just say, thank you, heart, for getting through this. I know you're having to work a little harder because I'm stressed out, but thank you for continuing to beat and move the blood around my body and for all that you've done. If you just think about it, your heart has been beating before any other of your body parts were formed. Your heart has kept you going for as long as you've been on this earth. It's mm-hmm. like amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, focusing on what your body does for you and what your body can do, I think mm-hmm. is, you know, a good place to start.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to add today?
I think the other thing that I'd like to say is, you know, you are with you your whole life, right? There's nothing you can do to get away from yourself, right? I mean, I guess you can try things, drugs and whatever you try, but you're still always going to be with yourself. So in particular for women, can you extend the grace and the compassion to yourself the way you do everybody else? You know, can you be your own best friend because you're with you, right?
Right.
You need your own friendship, right? So yeah, just, you know, be a friend to yourself today, the way you are for other people. That's definitely what I want to leave with everybody today.
Nice. I love that. Perfect. Thank you so much, Dana. Yay. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Oh, I have enjoyed talking to you too, Jenny. And it was like, this is what I really loved about when I first met you in the Chris Carr program. So keep doing what you're doing. Keep, you know, putting stuff out there and just being uniquely you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I needed to hear that today. Thank you so much for listening today. I'm so glad to have you with me. Ooh. If something resonated with you, I sure hope that you'll take that and expand on it in your own life. Maybe you can apply it to something that's going on with you right now. If you really want to get in on the good magic, I'd head over to jennytooley.com and grab up an interactive companion guide for season one and check out the mentorship program because that's where the magic's gonna happen. All right, subscribe. Join. Yay! Love you.